Welcome to the Hello Someday podcast, the podcast for busy women who are ready to drink less and live more. I'm Casey McGuire Davidson, ex-red wine girl turned life coach, helping women create lives they love without alcohol. But it wasn't that long ago that I was anxious, overwhelmed, and drinking a bottle of wine a night to unwind. I thought that wine was the glue holding my life together, helping me cope with my kids, my stressful job, and my busy life. I didn't realize that my love affair with drinking was making me more anxious and less able to manage my responsibilities. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of creating and living a life you don't want to escape from. Each week, I'll bring you tools, lessons, and conversations to help you drink less and live more. I'll teach you how to navigate our drinking-obsessed culture without a buzz, how to sit with your emotions when you're lonely or angry, frustrated or overwhelmed, how to self-soothe without a drink, and how to turn the decision to stop drinking from your worst-case scenario to the best decision of your life. I am so glad you're here. Now let's get started. Hey there. I've got some big news for you that I have been not so patiently waiting to tell you about. After 6 months away, my super popular, completely free masterclass is back, and it's better than ever. I've been working on it 4 months, so if you have been struggling to get sober momentum, please go to hellosomedaycoaching.com/class. You can sign up for my free training, 5 secrets to taking a break from drinking, even if you've tried and failed in the past. In this 60-minute masterclass, I am going to share with you all the things you need to stop doing because they're setting you up for self-sabotage and what you need to start doing instead. I am giving you the steps and the mindset shifts that I go through every day with my private coaching clients, and it is completely free. So if you are sober curious, if you've been thinking about taking a break from alcohol, this class is going to set you up for success. I promise you, it is worth your time. So hit pause on this episode, go to hellosomedaycoaching.com/class and save your seat. All right. Today we are talking about how hormonal changes in perimenopause impact your desire to drink. And I have been so wanting to have this conversation because this topic came up 3 days ago in my course membership community. And all these women were talking about how to deal with getting their period, being about to get their period, how much harder it is to not drink when that's happening, how a lot of times the cravings come on and they don't even realize or remember that this is why they're having those cravings and that they are used to checking out with wine and even being like, oh my God, the only thing that works when I feel the way I feel is to drink. And so everybody was chiming in with really helpful suggestions of what maybe worked for them. But I have an expert here today to talk about it. So Bria Gad is an integrative nutritionist, a holistic health coach, and a certified personal trainer and nutrition coach. She specializes in female hormones. And that is why I wanted to bring her on today to help all of us navigate these hormonal changes without giving in to cravings to drink and to finding other ways to manage. Her podcast, The Period Whisperer, is a top 2.5% wellness podcast in the world with an Instagram following of over 17,000. Bria has been featured in Fox News, Women's Health, and top women's podcasts such as The Midlife Makeover Show. So I'm so glad you're here and I really want to dive into this topic.
Thank you, Casey. I'm so pumped to be here. I'm super fangirling over here.
Thank you for saying that. So cool. So, and I'm curious, can I just read you something that someone said in my membership community literally 2 days ago?
Do it.
She said, "Hi, team. So I realized that my cravings are beyond belief when I have my period. I just turned 44 and my cycle hits hard and heavy, if you know what I mean. Crime scene massacre, terrible cramps, emotional irritability, weird sensory irritability, skin, hair, eyes, you name it. I know this is perimenopause, but still, the only thing that helps me feel even remotely human during this 3 to 5 day insane period of every month is wine. Has anyone else experienced this? I have said so many times, I'm drinking for medicinal purposes, which feels very true. What can I do other than Advil, hot baths, heating pads, gentle movement? Help me.
I love that. And I, you know, one, she is so not alone, first of all. Like, I hear this, of course, all the time. This is what I talk about with people. You know, I have a student who is like, I used to just get in the shower and let her rip, was her way of saying, like, just pouring blood. And I'm like, this is not normal, you know? And anyone who's telling you this is normal is wrong. But, you know, I would say to your client and anyone else who's, you know, going through is that, although, yes, you know, so let's talk about before perimenopause. So like in a normal cycle, it, you know, obviously hormones shift. So yes, we're going to experience some changes, but the luteal phase, which is our PMS phase, which gets a really bad rap, and we've been really kind of taught to accept that this is just how it is. Like, you're going to have cravings like, oh, she's cranky, she's on her period. Oh, she's having, you know, chocolate cravings, she's on her period. Oh, she's bitchy, she's on her, you know, like, this is what we're, what's normalized in our culture. And I love talking with you about this, because this is something you do so well in your content, your podcast, is kind of debunking what's normalized around these conversations. But ultimately, what we should have been taught when we were 13 going through this for the first time is that after ovulation, when we head into this like PMS zone, our body, our metabolism ramps up 250 to 350 more calories per day. So the real moral of the story is, and our cortisol elevates up, which adds a workload to the body. The moral of the story is that our energy supply and demand balance changes. So now all of a sudden the demand for energy in our body goes way up and no one's adding more supply. And so when our energy demand goes up, the brain, when we're not slowing down in any other way, automatically is like, I need energy fast. So where does it typically look for it? In sugar, specifically, most of the time. And sugar is in alcohol. So that's going to be a real knife. That's where we get our sugar. It's going to absolutely crave these things, along with the other great benefits that we feel like are great when we drink, you know, like just that subduing calmness. And, you know, if we don't provide that, then we get cranky because we're tired because our energy supply and demand is off. So that alone is what happens every month inside of us, which we've never been taught to deal with properly. And then you add to that the hormonal shifts of perimenopause, which is kind of like going through puberty or pregnancy. Like, remember in that first trimester of pregnancy when you're dog tired?
Yeah. And it's like passing out on the couch at 6 p.m.
Because you're creating life. It's like running a marathon every day, right? So in perimenopause, on top of this other shift, you know, our regular hormonal shift, now there's more things going on and we can talk about that. And so ultimately all that culminates in a massive energy supply and demand deficit. So what we need to do, you know, I want to hug your student because I've been there. We need to recognize that we need more energy. So that means like really like having more sleep, like in that week leading up to our period, or even before that, being proactive a bit, being like, sorry, I'm going to need more sleep right now, having more downtime or self-care practices, you know, and eating more. And when we don't do these things, you are always setting yourself up for failure because you're fighting with the like survival mechanisms of your body, which is I need energy to keep up this massive to-do list you have going here. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But yes. And irritability, what do you do about that? And just emotional sadness or whatever it is you're feeling, right?
For sure. And I would say, so irritable, I mean, again, I think when we have more energy, we're less irritable, we have more patience. So when we start to preempt that and we actually eat more, like eating more, like people are always like, I shouldn't eat carbohydrates. I'm like, eat the carbohydrates, create one that we need them in our cycle. We need them in perimenopause, but they create serotonin in our body. So they bring us that more sense of ease. So eating more, that's going to help, first of all. But second, I think understanding the phases that way,
And what the challenge that happens even more in perimenopause for women. So I'm going to have to get into it to explain it. I hope that's okay.
Yeah. And I want you to tell us what perimenopause is and when it hits and what happens. And I'll tell you later, but I feel like I know I'm in it. I'm 48 and I don't know I'm in it. I feel like I mean, I'm very lucky. I've had like 3 hot flashes. I have an IUD, so I almost never get my period, like literally in the last decade. And I'm like, why the fuck did no one tell me about this when I was 17 years old? I'm sure there's a reason. So I don't have the information of how to deal with it. Or honestly, how it feels. I used to have really heavy flow a week of every month. I know it sucked, but that was 15 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. And you're not alone, right? Like 50% of women don't know the difference between perimenopause and menopause. I was one of them not that long ago. So it's, you know, a really neat thing. Ultimately, we have menopause, which is one day, 365 days after we finish having a period. Basically, our hormones, you know, get so low that we no longer actually are reproductively capable anymore. Around 35, and that usually happens around in our 50s sometimes. So around 35 is when perimenopause begins, and it's not a diagnosable condition. So you really can't go to your doctor and get a test and have them say you're in it. They can just look at your hormone levels. But it's like, it's essentially a reverse puberty. So just like puberty begins as early as 8 in teenagers, right? We don't see those changes right away, you know, but it all kind of culminates in breasts and hips and a period that allows us to actually be able to have babies. Perimenopause is just like puberty, but in reverse. So we start at 35 and
we don't fucking lose the hips, right?
Right. None of that. No, those don't get to go backwards, unfortunately, right? They kind of just stay in that one area. So this is what perimenopause is. It's a time that's a transitional period of time, and it can be smooth or it can be terrible. You know, there's always going to be some changes. That's kind of an inevitable part, just like puberty. But ultimately, 3 things are happening in the body when we begin. So to answer your question, you're over 35. You haven't, I mean, we don't know officially if you've achieved menopause because you have an IUD, but yeah, 40, you said 48?
48.
48. You're likely not. So you're likely in perimenopause. Yes. Yeah. So anyone who's listening who's over 35, you're in it. It's a transition. It just is what it is. But what 3 things are happening, I think this really helps kind of explain it for people. One, the role of our hormones is being passed from our ovaries to our adrenals, which is important to understand because, you know, kind of like if you ever work in a corporate job and all of a sudden someone goes on mat leave or goes on a leave and you just get dropped with all this extra work and you're not getting paid more and you don't have more time, like shit gets slipped through the cracks, right? Like you drop some socks along the way. So one, we know this is happening. And of course, the state of our adrenals at that time is really going to make a difference as to the experience that we're having. So that's the first thing. We're already overworked. The adrenals are full. They're a little bit like, what do you want me to do? So there's that. The second is the amount of hormones are decreasing. And I think this is, you know, a good myth to debunk. Our hormones, our main sex hormones are symbiotic, meaning that when there's too much of one, there's not enough of the other. So when we go through this transitional period, if we keep them balanced, if we're aware of our hormones, then we keep them fairly balanced, we can have, you know, more like gentle rolling waves instead of tsunami style experiences like your poor student there. So if we can keep them balanced, that's, you know, a really good, so there's hope. I guess that's important, but there's going to be change. And the third one, and I think this is where it really starts to come in with this irritation. Like obviously the, you know, this greater workload is happening. Our energy demand is up there. But the third one that is, I don't think is talked about enough is what's going on in our brain. So our during perimenopause, our hippocampus and our amygdala, which are our memory encoders and retrievers of the brain, they're really sensitive to the shifting of these hormones. So if we're kind of imbalanced, if things are coming all over the place, we get really aware of things that are bothering us that maybe we used to sweep under a rug. And like, that's the, you know, the physiological side of it. Like, I think in a real simple way of looking at it is since we were 13 until now, we've been subconsciously driven to reproduce. It is so that the world, so that women are actually going to want to have sex with you and have babies. we have this, you know, this beautiful fog of estrogen that comes over us every month. That's like, oh, everything's fine. Everything's great. I love you, you know? And now that's going away. But so I think ultimately what we become really aware of, not just the things now that are annoying us more, like how we might feel or dishes left in the sink or, like your husband breathing or someone breathing too loudly, but also past traumas, like stuff that we haven't dealt with starts to come up now. And we're kind of like, damn, I'm dealing with this now. Like I'm aware of it now. So we're just more exposed to the things that used to bother us. We're not more sensitive. We're just more aware. And we've been kind of, you know, we've kind of been tricked our whole lives a little bit to like these rose-colored glasses have been put on us and then they come off and then they get put on, they come off and now they're just kind of off. And I think a lot of the times we're a little bit like, how did I get here? Like I'm here. And I don't like it here right now.
Yeah. You know, that's funny because right before we jumped on it and I hit record, I was telling you that like just for the past couple of days, I have been, especially this morning, just like so overwhelmed and irritated. And like to the point where half an hour ago, I was just screaming like, and then I was like, oh shit, we have a tenant who lives downstairs. I hope he couldn't hear me. And just running around swearing, which is not me. And, you know, I am not normally like that. But it's just, it's like an internal aggravated feeling I can't get out. And of course, you said to me like, all right, what point in your cycle are you on? And I was like, I don't fucking know. I don't get my period. But yeah, when you're describing it, I'm like, yeah, that's how I feel. And I'm like, do I need to exercise? Do I need to scream? Do I need a fucking vacation? I don't know.
Probably all of them. I pick the most, but I mean, most likely the vacation is the biggest one. Like, I think as our estrogen decreases, it's sort of like our social hormone. It's the one that kind of comes around. Again, it peaks in ovulation so that we're like, I'm here at the party, you know, I'm ready to be here. And yeah, we're having a bit less of it. And maybe it's dysregulated for like 73% of women are dealing with symptoms in perimenopause so significant it's impacting their life, like your student, and aren't getting any help for it. So we're more susceptible to these things right now. And there are ways to feel better about it. But I think the first is awareness always.
Yeah. To be like, this is normal. This is what's happening in my body. There is nothing wrong with me. And at least during cravings to alcohol is just, you know, in my mind, to just remember that it will not last forever. The way you feel in this moment will not last. That's the main thing I always try to help people remember. And the other thing that's really hard is that the symptoms that people describe for perimenopause and for what happens when you're getting your period or when you have your period really mimic a lot of the symptoms of alcohol withdrawal. So, you know, you are less able to cope with things like you said about serotonin, needing to eat carbs. Your serotonin is unnaturally suppressed. If you're in the drinking cycle, you're more irritable when you're in withdrawal. You're more sensitive. Everything feels too loud, too much, too fast. So it's almost like you're making it worse. And yet, as this woman in my group chatted about, the only thing that makes her feel even remotely, quote unquote, human is wine. And so the question is, we know that's a maladaptive coping strategy. We know that actually makes you feel worse. You know, on your period, feeling those emotions with a brutal hangover, oh my God, that's terrible. But like, what? You're aware of it. You know what's happening. You know it won't last forever. And yet a week of every month, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of your life. What do you do?
Yeah, I love this question. So one, we always want to look at kind of where we're at, right? If you're having this every single month, and there's like 38 known symptoms of perimenopause, there's probably way more than that, right? So if you're 38. Having
38. Okay. Yeah. So it somehow lasts for like a freaking decade.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think what I'm trying to bust here is that we don't have to suffer. It's just that the culture we've been raised in has really kind of shoved us down a path And we haven't even thought to ask the questions, right? Because we've just been told this is normal. And the same way that, you know, again, I love when you always talk about like just the normalcy, the normalizing of drinking in our culture, especially for women. Like culture has just taught us like, oh, you're just going to be cranky once a month. When you hit, you know, menopause, you're just going to be dried up and getting old and you're going to have hot flashes. And this is what it is. Like, accept it. And so we have, because we're good little girls or whatever the reason we've accepted it. But it's bullshit. Like, it doesn't, you know, yes, there are some things that are going to change, but most of it can be navigated fairly well if we can, you know, if we can understand what our body actually is and stop trying to be small men, which is really how we've been taught to be.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause for a minute? I am 48. So if you are going through it, I'm right there with you. I mean, hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, the low moods, the poor sleep, it is not cool. And that's why I was really excited to find a supplement called Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like those super fun hormonal changes. It helps reduce menopause symptoms head on. And if you're interested in trying it, you can use the code HELLO for 15% off your first order. Women cannot stop raving about it on social media, but the biggest benefit is the simplest, feeling like yourself again. So if you're going through this, like I'm going through this, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com with promo code HELLO. That's happy, MAMMOTH.com. And use promo code HELLO for 15% off your first order. When I was drinking, I used alcohol to calm my mind, to relieve anxiety, and to sleep well at the end of a busy day. I didn't know that alcohol actually spiked my stress hormone, increased anxiety, and as little as one glass of wine a night reduced my sleep quality by 24%. I was really excited to find Tenassi, a better way to find calm, rest, relief, and to reduce inflammation. Tenassi creates the highest quality, scientifically validated CBD and hemp extract products. Tenassi's formula includes a unique combination of CBD and CBDA in every dose, which is 2 times more effective than just CBD alone. So if you want to create a sense of calm, to calm your mind, to relax before bed for a great night of sleep, try Tenassi. Tenassi's being really generous with our listeners. You can go to tenassi.com and use code HELLO to get 25% off at checkout right now. That's TANASI.com. to get 25% off your first order with the promo code HELLO, and get ready to sleep well. Yeah. And so there were all these strategies by lovely women that they suggested, everything from a sock filled with rice and fresh lavender to soothe and numb the pain of cramps, talking to your doctor, various prescriptions, all the things. But can you give us just some ideas? What do you do?
Okay. So I would say, like, so there's relief, right? Which is what we're talking about. Like, where I'm already in it. It's kind of like how a really, you know, good night's sleep sort of begins at the beginning of the day before. Yeah. Like, obviously, a really great cycle is going to begin the cycle before. So there's that kind of, you know, corrective piece that we can get to. But what you're asking about is like, where's the relief? You know, what do I do? I'm in it right now. I'm feeling
how
this
do you
way.
Cope without being like, I just want to knock myself over the head with a bottle of wine and be unconscious.
Right. You know, I think there are some things that we can do, you know, immediately, right? To, you know, just to try to survive these tough moments, like if you're in the depths of it, kind of like when you talk about how when you're removing alcohol, like don't try to also remove sugar and all of these things, yeah. You know, like let's have something, even though maybe it's not the best thing for us, but let's try to bridge this gap. So I, you know, if you're in those moments and you like want to lose it, like go to bed. Go curl up in your room, binge watch, you know, the latest amazing Netflix or Apple TV or whatever it is, if you can, and take that time, because ultimately that's what your body is needing. It needs a damn break. It needs more energy and more rest. And you're probably not sleeping that well right now anyway. So let's just have a little bit more rest. So I think it's fully like full permission to go and like just take that time and break so that you can have a little bit more energy to handle what life is throwing at you right now as a quick fix. And, you know, because we know the trouble with our hormones is, you know, and I would probably say if you're going through the alcohol piece, like we also know like alcohol and sugar specifically are so hard on our hormones during this time. It just kind of, you know, and it's less about even the calories, so much more about the workload it adds to the body at this stage. It's just like I've already headed up to here. This is what our body is saying. Like, I've headed up to here. Like, what do you want me to do? And so if we pile more workload on them by things, you know, things that aren't good for us, then, you know, things start slipping through the cracks. And that's where we slide into things like dysfunction or greater issues like this, or thyroid issues or whatever else we might be experiencing. So we want to, I would say, like, if you're in it right there, if it's going to soothe you to have some sugar when you're pulling away from alcohol, like absolutely do it to get through that hump of the difficult time. So that we can get to the point where we are back in our follicular phase, and then we can look at calmly and say, okay, what's my plan for this month, right? What is my to preempt these symptoms? Because we kind of have to get ahead of it.
So you really do have to plan in advance for, you know, the entire 3 weeks. Okay, one more question.
Yeah.
Do you feel all these symptoms before your period starts or during your period? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really dependent on your hormone imbalance. So if you're, you know, because obviously if she's struggling with this many symptoms, we know there's dysfunction in the body. So some people can have dysfunction and not have a lot of symptoms. So it is nice to start to, you know, work on these things and be aware of what's going on. But, you know, to be more specific on that is that it really is going to depend. Some people have a lot of issues around ovulation when they have a hormone imbalance, because we're getting all these hormones coming to the party. We can have raised anxiety, which might drive us to want to have a drink, you know, and then all of a sudden our progesterone kind of drops right out right after that. And then we're missing that sort of soothing hormone. And then that's when we can also want to drink to sort of feel better, or like to, you know, manage this anxiety. And so it can happen at pretty much any point in time in the cycle, any of these symptoms, but anytime we're having symptoms, we know there's, you know, dysfunction or an imbalance somewhere in there, and it's time to look at it.
So how do you figure out if there's a hormonal imbalance, and how do you try to adjust for that?
Yeah, good. So I would say, you know, if your symptoms are impacting your life, like where you're thinking about your body more than 10% a day, like more than, oh, I'm going to put this on my body, then likely there's a problem. Because, and I always say this, like women are magic. Like what we can accomplish in this world is huge. And if we're spending more than 10% a day being consumed by how we feel in our body, we're not getting to put that out into the world. So it's time to work on whatever that thing is. And, you know, I think for your clients, it's like, let's move through this hump of, you know, drinking for sure. You know, once you get through that hump, if you need to move through a different hump, then we want to look at what that is so that we're not being held back from what's possible. So that's how I would say is a really easy thing. I mean, there's other signs and symptoms. Like if you are trying to lose weight and it's not going anywhere, if you're gaining weight and it doesn't make any sense, if you're having these murder scene periods, not normal. You know, if you're having a lot of bloating and indigestion, if you are having anxiety or night sweats or hot flashes, you can't sleep through the night. Like, what are some other, you know, lots of like incontinence, things like that. Those are all signs from your body that it's not happy, that something's not right. And that's how we know it's time to do something about it. And I would say, and then we'll talk about what you can do further, but I would say, like, the story we're told is that, oh, we're just getting old and deal with it. And the truth is that perimenopause doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. Like, this is your body's time being like, hello. I think Brené Brown talks about the universe coming and like shaking you by the shoulders, midlife unraveling, she called it. It just blew my mind when I read it. But it's like, it really is your body kind of being like, dude, like, what are you doing over here? Like, this, I'm telling you in so many ways that something's not right. And if you can ignore it and self-soothe with, and I think this is why we are driven often to things like alcohol, it's socially acceptable. So you can self-soothe with all of these things, but it's going to get worse. Or you can finally do the work and pay attention and deal with it. And the beautiful gift of it, I think, is that when we do, because we no longer have this subconscious drive to reproduce, we now have the rest of our lives to be more confident, to have more clarity, to be more creative. This is the gift of perimenopause and menopause, but we need to be brave enough to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then what do you do? You talked about like the solution or how to actually rebalance those hormones. By the way, when you're like, if you're thinking about your body more than 10% of the time and how happy or unhappy or comfortable or not you are with it, I'm like, oh Christ, I don't know a single woman who doesn't apply to, or at least I'm certainly not one of them. So yes, solutions.
Yeah. Well, I love that you say that, because I remember when I was 20 sitting around some girlfriends and someone was like complaining about bodies. And someone's like, well, no one really loves their body. And one of my friends was like, I do. And I was blown away by that. And I think I spent the last 20 years figuring out, like, if that was like a unicorn situation or if that's possible. But I will tell you now at 42 that I don't think about my body even 10% of the day, you know, unless it's to be like, I think if we're like an old friend that I really love and maybe I'm like, oh, I should message her and tell her I love her and check in, you know, it's like it is possible, I guess, is that, and I think that is a part of coming home to your body. But I would say the path back looks like this. And I think it's an important analogy to understand, because I think our hormones can often feel like a mental health thing where we don't really look at it the same as like the physical health, because it's kind of out there, you know, an intangible thing. So I like to look at it like, imagine your hormones and the health of your body like you broke your ankle. Right? If you break your ankle, what do? We got to go and put a cast on the ankle until the inflammation goes down and the break heals. If you don't do that, you're walking around bashing your foot around. It's going to get worse. It's going to get more painful. So we have to do that piece. And that cast is on for 4 to 6 weeks. So the first step for any woman to kind of reset their hormones so that they're not having this drive constantly to do, you know, do these other things to self-soothe, like drinking, is to take a look at their lifestyle and eliminate inflammation in their nutrition, in their workouts, you know, and really focus on rest, which is a hard thing for women because they're like, I can't work out. I'm like, you should not be working out during this time. You should actually be doing, like, yes, you should walk. Yes, you should do some yoga. That's it. Like, that's what we should be focused on. So a really, you know, clear to do is like to take 4 to 6 weeks and cut out the inflammatory foods, which of course is going to be alcohol, sugar, caffeine. I'd say at least, you know, never have caffeine on an empty stomach. You can have one a day with breakfast or after breakfast, but having it on an empty stomach just pisses your hormones right off. And remember, they've already headed up to here. Like, there's no more wiggle room. We're not, you know, it's like, oh, I'm just annoyed now. I'm already irritated. I'm in this phase. And ideally, you know, cutting out some of the known inflammatory foods just for that time phase, which would be, you know, your processed flours and gluten, your conventionally raised non-organic dairy from cows specifically, and, you know, GMO corn and soy, which nobody seems to care about. Everyone's like, I don't need to eat that.
This is when you're on your period. So for like, what the hell do you eat?
What do you eat when you, well,
like, what do you eat if you're cutting out all the things?
So I mean, this is what I eat.
I have some diet issues to work for, but I'm just like, yeah.
Because we don't, and to try to give a little perspective, we don't want to piss the body off more. Every time you, it's like you're walking around, every time you start to eat an inflammatory thing when you're already inflamed, you're just bashing your broken, uncasted foot up against a thing. And it's just making things worse somewhere in the body. But yeah. So what do you eat? And this is what's definitely an area that I love to talk about and work on. So first of all, I would not start a healing protocol on your period. It's a powerful time to start, probably the week after your period. That's our follicular phase. We have the most tolerance. We've got the lowest metabolism during that time. So we can handle a lot more during that phase. So the first goal would be like, I need to eat 3 times a day, no more skipping meals. And yeah. I need to make sure the food in that is good quality food. So we can be, you know, and it depends a little bit on your metabolic type. But like for me, for example, I eat fried eggs and like as the sprouted grain toast or like, you know, bread that's appropriate. Sprouted grain toast, I really love with like peanut butter and banana on it. I eat it almost every day because I love it. You know, we've got gluten-free oats you could have with like, nobody knows this, but I highly recommend putting eggs in your oatmeal. It like makes it really creamy. It's a really powerful way to get your like protein.
Cook it beforehand or...
No, you when you're cooking the oatmeal, you crack the egg in and stir it in and it cooks. So it's not raw, but and you don't taste it. And then all of a sudden you've got this great protein, which is a big part of women's hormones. We need that protein at this stage.
No, and I appreciate that because literally I was just editing my episode, which is coming out tomorrow. That's about how to eat to change how you drink. And I've been talking about this for years, but protein at every meal is so important, especially at 4 to 6 p.m., because that low blood sugar and hunger is a huge trigger to drink. And it's really hard to overcome that just with willpower. So I completely appreciate that. And it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Like no matter what your metabolic type is, eating 30 grams of protein per meal for a woman who's going to be, you know, probably in our height range is really where we should be at, like more if it feels good and you're hungry. And if not, but like 30 grams can sound like a lot, but you can get there pretty quickly. Okay. So we want to, you know, the two big things are we want to pull the inflammatory foods. We want to sleep as much as we can. So no more waking up for early workouts and yeah, you don't need to just go for a walk. If you like that endorphins in the morning, get the sunlight in your eyes. If it even is light that early.
And I would never work out, but the past couple nights I've been up till like midnight and then my alarm goes off at 5:15 and I'm just like, I'm so fucking tired. But if I don't work out, I'll be more irritated and annoyed and frustrated that I don't do anything for myself. I have to tell you, this is not me. I'm glad we're friends because I am like so spicy today and I'm like, what is wrong with me? So, you
know. I love it. It's good. It's good because it challenges me. And, you know, you should know, like when like I in my past life, I was, you know, a fitness and nutrition coach. And that's how I spent my life building this business. And at 37, I got slammed. Like my life sounded a lot like your clients who was telling, you know, saying that. And it was it just rocked me. And I was up every day, always like getting in a 60-minute workout, like high intensity workout, 6 days a week. You know, I gained 15 pounds without changing anything. And that was like really nothing compared to the fact that I was so uncomfortable that I was putting myself to bed every night by drinking and waking up every morning to caffeine and still pushing myself through these workouts. And I couldn't sleep anymore.
No, I didn't know you did. We talked about you doing Dry January, right? With your sister. But what? I had no idea that you used to like put yourself to bed with alcohol. Like
always. Oh yeah. Like that was my survival mechanism. I self-soothed. It was how I got through the child rearing years. And like, I remember after my second was born being like, I drank every day the last 6 months. Like I haven't gone. So because of you, you've inspired me. And I'm a big fan of going like a month here and there to kind of in the name of my hormones, but I am on day 24 of my 100 days and I'm feeling
Oh, you're doing
100 days. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. My sister's feeling amazing. My wife's feeling amazing. Like we talk about it. We're all in it. My mom's in on it, although she hardly ever drinks.
Yeah.
But this is all because of you. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yay.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I don't know about you, but I cannot believe how fast
this year is flying by. We're all busy, but one of the most important things you can do to make sure you're on the right path is to carve out some time to celebrate your victories and to notice what you wanted to change but haven't been able to yet. Whether you're navigating sobriety, setting boundaries, or striving to be the best version of yourself, therapy can be a game changer. Therapy is for anyone looking for growth and support. And if you're considering it, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's convenient, it's flexible, and it's entirely online. So take a moment for yourself and visit BetterHelp.com/someday to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/someday. Okay. And so you are inspiring me now. It's been on my mind. I need to freaking change my nutrition. And you're shocking me with the do not get up early to work out. So I need to wrap my head around that because it sounds so counterintuitive. Oh. But I am on day 24 of like not freaking eating ice cream after dinner and all the cakes and the cookies and the like 4 p.m. Hershey's Kisses, because it has been since Halloween of just all the sugar. And I have a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old. My freaking son, you probably would not approve, but he is 6'1" and like you can see every rib, and he plays basketball and baseball. He's always like, he needs to gain weight. He's a center and he's up against these guys that look like men who are 6'7". And so at night after dinner, he does like a protein shake, but like with ice cream in it. So there's constantly ice cream in his house because he's just like, I need calories, man. I need fat. I need calories. I need muscle. I need something.
Well, you know, when they're young, and like youth is forgiving, right? Like it can, you know, is that ideal for his body? No. Can he get away with it right now? Yes. Will he probably pay the piper for it later? Totally. But, you know, we can't really tell.
Like, does that help at all? Should I tell him to cut out the damn ice cream because it's not helping him get buff?
Absolutely. It's shit for him. It's like, you know,
I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah. Sugar, like alcohol, like sugar, processed sugar like that. That's going to be an ice cream, like alcohol. Automatically creates inflammation. It's like it's an automatic response. You put it in, inflammation, cortisol, and then the body can't perform. It's got to stop doing what it's doing and deal with the inflammatory response. It's
like build muscle despite it. He should just stick with the protein powder and whatever else.
Yeah, he's just making it harder on himself. He'd be way better if he needs high fat calories to just stick a whole avocado in the smoothie. He won't taste it, and it's going to give him just as many calories, but at least his body can use those tools. I like to say, it's like the food we eat is like, it's like the difference between buying Walmart leggings and like Spanx or Lulu leggings. There is a difference. It's leggings, you put it on and you know the difference. Like that's what it is when we look at the ingredients in our food that way, right? Like when we start to pick up the better tools, then the body's like, oh, hey, now look at me. Like
I'm totally going to tell him that tonight. He's going to be so upset. But I literally bought him a scale for Christmas and wrapped it up because he kept stealing ours because he wants to gain weight, which like cracks me up so much. Because, you know, I mean, I'm 48. I'm like, damn it. How am I just gaining weight out of no reason? But yeah.
Someone like him, like with that lean that's trying so hard, is probably what we call like a fast metabolizer. So he wants really slow burning fuel, which means like he is better off eating like, high fat, lots of heavy protein. Like if he's down with eating animal, like, you know, bring on the meat, bring on the, like, that's what he should be eating to bulk. It'll be, you know, way better for him and he'll feel better.
Cut out the vanilla ice cream in your protein powder smoothie at 9 p.m. is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. But there, he's your kids. He's probably not going to listen. But still.
But enough of that. Back to us.
Sorry. On a tangent. I could talk forever about this stuff. So yeah, so try to give some real tangibles for people listening. We want to take this example. You're in this inflammatory. We can tell you're having all these symptoms. We know you're there. You know, and for you, Casey, like if you can't stop eating sugar, your body's desperate for energy. That's what's happening. And when you only slept 5 hours last night and then you got up this morning and did a hard workout, I mean, that's just the, for me, that's like, it's just highlighted big red, like this is why. That's the first start anyway, right? It's like, you just don't have enough energy to accommodate for your energy demand. So
there's so many random adjustments. I told you before, I was like working till 9 p.m. the past like four nights. So then when I finally put my computer away at 9:30, then I'm like, I've had no time, you know? So then I want to stay up till midnight. Then I'm like, I got to get my work out in Christ. Yeah. All right. I need you to just completely rewire my life.
Okay. We'll work on that. Okay. So we want to take a month in the name of healing, like think of it, that casting up kind of thing. And a really, you know, some simple ways to do that are, one, really focus on getting like 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night, like at least being in your bed for 8 to 10 hours. We can't always control sleep. We want to pull the inflammatory foods and we want to eat really regularly. Like I wake up and I eat within 2 hours of waking. I eat 4 to 5 hours later. I eat 4 to 5 hours later, and just not worry about the composition, just eat enough to be full and satisfied until the next meal. So eat whatever you want that's not those inflammatory foods. Eat as much as you want. It's not those inflammatory foods. Just eat enough so that you're full until the next meal. Because we need to give the body consistency and we need to give her the opportunity to not be focused on dealing with crap all the time and be able to get back to what we want, which is hormone balancing and healing. And the last piece in that inflammatory phase, I would say, is like, yeah, pulling those workouts, because walking is functional movement, yoga, functional movement, like sure, some gentle cycling, okay. But weight, like lifting weights is for what we call a luxury body. And it's like, that's great. But if your foundational health isn't there, you're just wasting your time. You're putting this effort in and you can't even recover. Like, if you didn't sleep 7 hours last night, you're not going to be able to recover from an intense workout this morning. So you just wasted more time. And now you're probably more frustrated, right? And then you're going to be hungrier. You're never going to be able to say no to that sugar. So it's just by being like, wait a second, what does my body need? It needs a break. It needs a rest. And it's got to be able to have the energy to deal with the transition you're going through, to deal with the healing that we need in order for you to kind of get back in the black. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah. So just take the time and walk. I love, you know, to focus on 7 to 10,000 steps a day. Like there's a reason that came, you know, a popular thing. You know, we can use some intense yoga, like hot yoga or, you know, some good mat Pilates if you really feel like you need those endorphins. But like walking first thing in the morning and after meals is one of the most powerful things that you can do for your blood sugar, for your hormones, for your body, for your brain. It's just simple movement. And once you get over that hump of like, this isn't moving the needle, you'll be like, wow, I really like walking. Now I know why old people walk all the time.
Yeah.
You're like, it's really nice. It's really easy.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So that's phase one. And then to sort of give you, you know, once you move through that piece, you're going to notice you have more energy. You're going to sleep better. You're going to stop having these cravings and life's going to get a little easier. And so that cast comes off. And then we want to go to physio, and everyone wants to skip this physio piece, but we really need to take a month to like make sure we're getting full range of motion of that joint, or, you know, in the body, we're healing and repairing the metabolism, that we're giving the body the space now that it's no longer focused on keeping you alive because of our energy supply and demand issue. It can focus on healing and repairing the things that have been damaged. And that's when we can get, you know, further into the composition of your nutrition and also look at the other areas of your life, right? And I think as a coach who focuses on, you know, sort of the food, but alcohol is something I talk about and I hear you talk about it. It's like when alcohol is your only source of joy, it's probably time to look at other areas of your life, right? We're missing the point here. Yeah. So then we take that time in there and then we can move into optimizing hormones. So it's, you know, without going, you know, taking an hour more to tell you everything, how it looks. We want to just, that healing piece is the first piece of the puzzle. And then it gets hella easier after that.
You know, what's interesting is what I'm hearing you saying is very similar to what I say to women when they stop drinking, which is, it's counterintuitive, but you have to actually slow down before you can spring forward, right? Everybody wants to stop drinking and they're like, why am I not sleeping better? I'm not drinking. Why don't I have crazy energy? Why do I feel like I've been hit by a bus and I'm so tired? And, you know, why aren't I instantly happier? And it takes a month, 2 months to rebalance your body, to rebalance your dopamine and your serotonin. And you probably haven't slept well in years and sort of to do all of those things. And we all want the quick fix, or we all want the, okay, I'm finally fed up with the way I look and the way I feel. And therefore I need to switch everything all at once. And you're saying, take a month and slow down, which is so counterintuitive to the, I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I feel. I don't, you know, like I'm going to immediately change everything about my life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, completely what you're saying there. And one of the best analogies I've ever heard is like, your body is not a vending machine. You don't get to put something in and pull something out immediately. And at 40 something, where we all are, like, we didn't get here overnight, did we?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to take a minute. Like, And we want to just try to enjoy that path. And I think that's sort of the goal, is how do we enjoy the path in the process? And I mean, I think what you do so well for women is you create space for women to come together and enjoy the path of the uncomfortable part, which is that part where we're exposed and vulnerable. And that's what I try to do in perimenopause. It's like, I want to create space in all the noise that everyone else is telling us of how we should do things. Great space for this to actually not be, to at least be fun if it's going to be hard.
Yeah. And it totally, I have to say, you know, it makes such a difference to actually talk about all of this stuff, to talk to other women who are in the space who get it. And I mean, I remember it, you know, how freeing it was to actually be like, oh my God, this is fucking nightmare. And these people are irritating me and I'm overwhelmed and I feel like I'm not keeping it together. And, you know, it annoys the hell out of me when sometimes you get these ads or these programs for these women who are like, you know, you're going to look amazing and just do this and just eat that. And I'm like, you're freaking 26. I looked amazing too when I was 26. Like, shut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally, you know, it's just, you know, I hear you say this in your podcast. You talk about kind of that first month. You know, don't be afraid to bubble up, like bubble yourself up into a place, because change is hard. It requires energy. This is the issue we're dealing with right now, is not having enough energy. So just bubble up for the month. And it's okay to like hibernate away and just do whatever is self-soothing to get through it. But yeah, take that time, because we're just not in that place where youth is forgiving. They have no idea at 20 what's
right. Yeah. I look back and I'm just like, oh my God, why was I so hard on myself back in the day when I was like playing three sports and working out for 2 hours a day and all that good stuff. But I guess it was because I was in puberty and, you know,
yeah.
Like, it's so unfair. Men have no idea.
Men don't. And I know
we get to give birth. But, you
know. We get to. That's fun, isn't it? It's really great, yeah. Carrying a human in your guts for 9 months, feeling so damn uncomfortable, and then pushing them
out. So we like go through puberty. I mean, I know you, I see my son and all that stuff, but like, then we get to have like a week of every freaking month, like bleeding and feeling like shit. And then we get to go through a decade of transition out of it. And somewhere in between, you're probably having babies and like, so physically and emotionally taxing. So
yeah.
Like I said, I feel spicy, but I am committed to taking better care of myself. And I liked the vending machine analogy because, you know, it's so easy to want that like easy button, quick fix. And we're so used to doing that with alcohol. And it is extremely difficult to sit through really not feeling well and feeling those emotions and all over the place and the ups and downs. And that's regardless of whether you're going through burnout or perimenopause or removing alcohol. And for a lot of us in midlife, it's like every freaking one at once.
Yeah, it's true. It's a lot. And again, like I'm with you on the frustration around like, look what we have to go through. But it's made worse by the fact that we're in a man's world still. And you know,
what I think doctors dismiss women, right? There's all this data around like, a man can come in with a complaint and there will be X percent more work done and time spent with him to solve his issue than a woman.
Hi there. If you're listening to this episode and have been trying to take a break from drinking, but keep starting and stopping and starting again, I want to invite you to take a look at my on-demand coaching course, the Sobriety Starter Kit. The Sobriety Starter Kit is an online self-study sober coaching course that will help you quit drinking and build a life you love without alcohol, without white-knuckling it or hating the process. The course includes the exact step-by-step coaching framework I work through with my private coaching clients, but at a much more affordable price than one-on-one coaching. And the Sobriety Starter Kit is ready, waiting, and available to support you anytime you need it. And when it fits into your schedule, you don't need to work your life around group meetings or classes at a specific day or time. This course is not a 30-day challenge or a one-day-at-a-time approach. Instead, it's a step-by-step formula for changing your relationship with alcohol. The course will help you turn the decision to stop drinking from your worst-case scenario to the best decision of your life. You will sleep better and have more energy. You'll look better and feel better. You'll have more patience and less anxiety. And with my approach, you won't feel deprived or isolated in the process. So if you're interested in learning more about all the details, please go to www.sobrietystarterkit.com. You can start at any time, and I would love to see you in the course.
Absolutely. And that is absolutely true. There's like statistics around it. And women were not required to be a part of medical or wellness research until the mid-1990s, which that tells you that, right? And even then, like, it's like, well, what percentage? And then they would try to get women who are like postmenopausal or like, you know, aren't menstruating yet. So we can balance that out because we're an entirely different area that needs to be studied. And it's vastly under-researched. But that means anyone, especially in our age box, who lives alongside now in the man's world where we share, we have big careers and we do all of these things. We've been taught to be small men, and we're just, so no wonder our bodies are pissed off at us every single month because they're like, this is not working for me. And that's really, I think I'm convinced in that, you know, through all the research, that's why we have PMS. That's why we're so frustrated right now, is because we have been going along thinking this is the right thing for us because that's what we've been told. But
I almost always try to go to a woman doctor or a nurse practitioner or whatever, because it was crazy. I had literally a torn and detached hip labrum, still do. And for a year, I was like, I feel like we have a really high pain tolerance. Women have a really, and I know women who drink for years have a really high pain tolerance because, you know, how the hell else would you keep going through that? But for a year, I was like, what's wrong with me? Why am I a wimp? It's probably in my head, whatever. I finally got an MRI and they were like, holy shit, how have you been trying to walk around with this forever? And then I went to a pain doctor, like, you know, to like, how do you deal with this? And they gave me something, did not work. Cortisol shot didn't work. Came back literally in tears because I finally was like, I can't live like this. It is radiating up and down my leg for hours, like whatever it is. And he was such a condescending dick. I think he was trying to pretend that he was like on my side, but he was like, I don't think you're crazy, you know, just so you know. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. I'm not fucking like, he was like, some women really, you know, just very emotional, but I don't think you're crazy. I'm never going to see you again in my life.
That's unbelievable. And there's so many stories of that. And I think also women, because we get so used to that, we also start to dismiss it ourselves, right? We go in and we're like, oh, actually, I'm okay. It's not that bad. or depending on our phase of our cycle, we might also say that. So there's a lot going on there, but absolutely women are dismissed and it's a problem.
Great. All right. So there is so much more to learn. And I want to have everyone know where to get in touch with you, where to learn more about your work. I need to go there 100%.
Yes, let me help you. You have helped me. Let me help you. Thank you. Yeah. So you can come hang out with me on Instagram, Bria_period_whisperer, or check out the Period Whisperer podcast. Or you can, of course, go and find me on my website, BriaThePeriodWhisperer.com. You know, I've got a great quiz out right now that is to help you understand, like, is it my hormone? So that we can stop that, you know, answer that question at least. Got a daily hormone checklist. So come check out, reach out, let me know that this is where you came from and that you're on your 100 days too.
Okay, that is awesome. And by the way, I just think it's funny, like, how did you get the name, the Period Whisperer?
So ultimately, you know, I think our, you know, two ways. One, I really think one of the foundational ways for health in our body is like really simple. We need to eat, we need to move, we need to sleep, and we need to have personal time. And I learned that from the Baby Whisperer when I was desperately trying to get a child to sleep.
Oh my God.
Who was a terrible sleeper. She had this easy method, which I thought was amazing. And that works obviously because we're all humans. So it works for us too. So that was part of what inspired it. But ultimately, it's like learning the whispers of your body, like before they turn into screams, which is where we're at right now. Because when you hear your body and then you start to trust her and you work with her, life gets really good.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I'm really glad I asked that question because I didn't know that. And I also remember when I had a baby, oh my God, it's so physically hard. And it's very similar to early sobriety. And I'm sure perimenopause too. I remember sitting at home in front of a, like, you know, postnatal yoga workout. And I was just sitting on the floor and the woman on the DVD, because this was back in the day, was literally like, you've gone through so much. Your body is healing. This is hard. I was literally by myself in my house. My baby was napping, crying. I was like, it is really hard. Thank you. That. And then, you know, when your baby, I always thought of it as like feeding the meter in this endless cycle, right? So it was like food, play, sleep, yeah, you know, whatever, and then do it again, just feed the meter. And actually so true for our own bodies as well, right? And we just override what our body needs. You know, you're in early sobriety and these women are like, and myself too, I'm like, oh my God, I really want to drink because I'm so fucking tired. And I'm like, oh my God, that means rest. Take a nap. Go, like, your body is tired. Don't override your nervous system and your body's needs by ingesting this chemical.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, if you're tired, sleep. If you're hungry, eat. Like, we treat our babies like this. Look out into the wild at any wild animal. What do they do every day? They eat, they sleep, they move, and they like play or have sex or deal with stress. Like, it's all there. That's it. That's what we do. If you can lock those pieces in and never override them, I mean, you're really going to be head and shoulders above everyone else in this world in your health, because it's that simple.
Well, thank you so much. You've given me a ton to talk about and to think about. I know that a lot of my listeners, probably all of them, because it's almost all women in midlife, are resonating with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you so much for having me. I'm just so grateful to be here today.
Oh, hey, it's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls, we're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls Podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hello Someday podcast. If you're interested in learning more about me, the work I do, and access free resources and guides to help you build a life you love without alcohol, please visit HelloSomedayCoaching.com. And I would be so grateful if you would take a few minutes to rate and review this podcast so that more women can find it and join the conversation about drinking less and living more.